Sunday afternoon, probably Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, somewhere around there. Somewhere on the ground. I don't remember where I was at. But I got to reminiscing about the camp meetings that I've got to experience when I was growing up in this congregation, and thinking about all the things that I've witnessed here on these grounds. And God gave me the opportunity and the privilege to be raised up here. And, you know, we have 3 camp meetings a year here. And yes, there's a lot of work that goes into it, but the enjoyment of the camp meeting is getting to see the ones like you, some of you come in and enjoy yourselves and take home memories with you. That is our reward, some of our reward, and also the reward of ones getting saved and the church growing and being united together and those other things. But, you know, a lot of work goes into it, but it's enjoyment to see the ones come in and enjoy themselves. Some of my early memories I got to thinking about, and little did I know that I'd have a hand on my shoulder later on that night asking me to give my personal testimony. So I think God was just trying to tell me, you know, start thinking about this. But some of the things that stuck out in my mind, most of you will not remember, but the candy stand used to be where the print shop is now, where Brother Jeff Carr's office is. I can remember the candy stand being in there, and I remember my dad being one of the workers in the candy stand, along with Brother Steve Lewis. And I remember going down there and getting ice cream, and my dad would freeze it for me in the little styrofoam cups, which they do, Brother and Sister Shees does over there now. But my dad would do it for me as a special treat, and I always enjoyed running down there and getting those. And I remember when the old barn was on top of the hill, and before the what we call the new dorm, Dorm 18, was ever built, the barn sat in that spot. And I remember the kids' barn service was in the afternoon then, and that's where we was at, just like today. And I remember when the drinking fountain was where the gazebo is, and I'm one of the kids that stuck pennies and paper balls in there to shoot the water 30 feet. I was one of the kids that did that. And we would be soaked pretty much when we got done doing that. And then, a little older, my dad was the printer of the Gospel Trumpeter. And I remember going down there at 6 and Locust, where the Trumpeter was being printed, and spending my summer days there, running around the old sanctuary, helping my dad work on the Trumpeter. And those are a lot of precious memories that I have of my early days, camp meetings and whatnot. I remember, you know, the camp meetings used to be so many people. It's hard to fathom today. I mean, we're thankful we have a big crowd this week, but, you know, I remember when the choir had to stay in the choir because there was no seats to come down to. And I remember where the orchestra played the other night, people would sit there. That was all full of people, the balcony all full of people. I remember those things, and it'd be awesome if we could get to that place again, to have that many people back coming in. But also, some of my early childhood memories is, I had arthritis. I got arthritis in my thumb and in my big toe. And for a while, it was very, very painful, especially in the wintertime. And I remember my mom taking me down and getting me prayed for, and I never had the pain again. Now, my joints are the same. If you look at my joints, they're really weird looking. But I think God left the joints there to remind me that He healed me. I have never had the pain from that day forward. And then my teenage years, the young people's, and when I was getting to 13, 14 years old, I counted up one time, we had 9 congregations within 2 hours drive of here. And of course, revivals are all the time. And one of the congregations, and our young people was going all over the place. We took, of course, we had school bus type of vans then. These little vans, we had actual school buses or buses. And we would fill up the whole bus. And the elderly saints would be in the other bus. And all the young people in the one bus. And we would, off we'd go wherever we was going. And those were a lot of fun trips. And if you young people don't go to the revivals and take advantage of the times when we do go, when the vans go, there's a lot of good memories that you can get going to those, being with the young people, singing. We would go and we would sing and whatnot at these revivals, and it was a lot of good time. And then I was 16. I was 15 when Brother Emerson Wilson passed away. And I would turn 16 later on that year. And I remember, you know, the shock that the congregation went through. And I remember the faithful saints praying and prayer services and everything that went on. We was praying for a new pastor. And I can vividly remember the service when Brother Decker stood up and, you know, announced that God had called him to be the pastor. And I can remember the joy, rejoicing and the testimonies and everything that went on in that service. And it was an awesome experience, something I'll never forget, probably as long as I live. And another good memory, this is all part of my leading up to trying to explain how good God was to me, giving me all these things. And then as I go into my testimony, how dumb I was to leave it. And I want you guys to realize that God gave me all these blessings, and I walked away from it. And I spent 10 years of my life, plus a little over 10 years of my life in sin, wasting what He'd given me. And I have all these precious memories that God gave me, and I could have had a whole lot more if I would have stayed true to Him. But I sang in a quartet back then with Sister Becky Foster, which she was Sister Becky Dablemar at that time, Cindy Lewis and Steve Lewis, and myself, and we sang quite often. We had a lot of really good times getting together, practicing, and over to Lewis's house, and we just had a lot of fun times. Sister Becky, I'm sure, would remember a lot of those things. It was a lot of good times, and using the talent that God gave me for the Lord, you know. I don't have a lot of talent, but whatever He's given me, I want to give it to Him. Yeah. And then my sophomore year of high school was probably one of my hardest years of my life. And my dad got really, really sick. And he ended up in Grant Hospital. And my mom spent almost every day I'm not real sure how long he was in the hospital. He was in there for quite a while. She basically lived in Columbus, and I had to go to my sister's because I was still at high school. And my oldest blood sister lived right close to the hospital. And so I would stay there, and I would walk to school. And that was very hard, being separated from my parents. I had never had to go through anything like that before. And it was a very hard place. And for me, but that was also the year that I started having some physical issues of my own. I would go to walk through a doorway, and I would go in my eyes, I would go through the middle of the door, but I would brush the left side of the door. But I was going through the middle of the door. At least that's what I thought. I would go between two people, and I would always bump the one on the left. And so I started having headaches and other things. So I told my mom, well, we ended up going to the doctors. And so I had to go through a bunch of tests and things. And they told mom that they thought that there was something there, but they needed to do a CAT scan to find out exactly what it was. And so I remember my mom bringing me down here to get prayed for the night before my CAT scan. And so I don't remember who prayed for me. I remember the next day I had to go lay on that hard bed, and they wheel you, but they that thing puts you in this tube, and they give you an IV of all this freezing cold stuff shooting up your arm, and you have to lay very still. I remember all these things and just being scared and nervous, you know, and 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid. And I remember when my mom got the results, and they told my mom that they had seen something, had been there, but there wasn't anything there. And so I know in my mind that God, whatever it was, God healed me, and He took it away.
Amen.
Don't know if it was a tumor. I don't know what it was. I just know that it was gone. And then one of the biggest mistakes that I made through my later teenage years, my 17, 18-year-old years, was I didn't stay as close to God as I should have. Kind of took things for granted. And that's easy to do when we have the privileges and the opportunities that we have here in the Church of God. And I was one of the kids that did that. And because of that, I didn't seek God's face for decisions about my life. And so one of the bad decisions that I made was I joined the Army. I went into reserves. And I signed up at 18 years old, and I left for basic training when I was 19. And what that did was the devil set me up to be away from my home, away from family, and of course away from church. And I lost out with the Lord. And you know, I have gone through basic and AIT in Georgia and all those things. And I came home, and you know, at that point I was backslidden and didn't really want to go to church much. I did live with my mom and dad for a little while, but at that point it was, you know, I started moving out on my own and getting my own place and doing my own thing. And I was 19 years old, and I had a girlfriend that wasn't 18. She was a little bit younger than 18 years old. And I got arrested. And to this day, I have a felony record on my record from being 19 years old. I can never get it expunged off my record. It is going to be there until the day I die. One evening, one bad decision affects my career, affects my family, affects me, and will do those things all of my life. I went to get really good paying jobs. You have a felony, they don't even talk to me. You know, and a few years ago now, I went paid to go back to school, become an EMT, trying to become a medic. And I went through the first phase of the schooling and almost wasted all that money because I had that felony. God worked it out that I was able to get to be able to take the state test and pass it and all those things. But that's just an example of how being not saved, the devil can get you entwined in things very rapidly, because it will affect you all your life. You won't know it then, and you don't think that you'll get, you think you'll get by, you think that it won't, that it's no big deal, but yet it is. And the other big thing that I spent a lot of years in sin doing was singing. Most of you know I enjoy singing very, very much. I'd rather sing in front of thousands and thousands of people than talk. I'm not good at talking, but I enjoy singing. And I'm not really good at that much either, but I'm better at it than speaking. But when I was in the Army, we had a small group of us that would get together and sing and do things. And that kind of got me into enjoying singing in front of people. I mean, I've just been singing here in church all my life, but it's a whole lot different situation when you're singing in front of worldly people. It's, I don't know how to explain it, but it is. But into my 20s, I moved to Columbus, and I was singing in the clubs and bars in Columbus 7 nights a week. I was in a band for several years, just thinking I had a great time. I was having a good, you know, like the Bible says, there's fun in sin for a season. And those were the years that I thought I was having fun, you know, singing and doing those types of things. And I went to Nashville, sang down there, didn't really get anywhere doing that. But I sang in competitions down there. I sang in competitions all over Columbus and those types of things, just wasting my life. But, you know, I think often the song that the youth choir sings about the party and how it goes through, you know, you're having a great old time and everything's fun and dandy, and then all of a sudden you're by yourself. And that's where it hits you, you know, the emptiness. All of that fun you had, and it doesn't satisfy.
Amen.
You spent 3, 4 hours, 5 hours in a night having a good time, but it was for nothing. It was vain. Your heart's still empty. You, a lot of times, wake up the next day totally regretting what you'd done the night before. Emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. There's just nothing to sustain you, nothing to go. So what you do, the devil gets you going again, going again, going again. Keeps you going and going and going, trying to get more enjoyment, trying to get more pleasure, finding more things to get into. And you just, it's just a never-ending story. That's why the world just tries to get wrapped up in so many things, sports and entertainment, drugs, alcohol. They're trying to find that filling for that void that's in their heart, and they just can't do it. And because when the fun ends and when your good times do end, the good times that you will have, when they end, there's nothing there. The void is there. And that void can only be filled by God. And as I moved into my 30s, I had been with a girl for several years. And I had a faithful mom. I had a praying mom, and I'm thankful for that. She kept hounding me, come to church, come to church, you know. And I will someday, Mom. I will. I'll be one. Well, we came on a Sunday morning, and Brother Decker was in Oregon. I believe he was in Oregon. And Brother Jeremy Huck preached, and I don't remember what he preached on, but we went down to the altar and we got saved.
Good.
And for a while, of course, I knew, being raised in truth, I knew the change I had to make. The girl that I was seeing, she tried, and you know, she ended up losing out with the Lord. But there was some hard times in getting back into you know, all the habits and all the things that I had done, all the scars that I had put on my life, the devil really used. And, you know, I still battle some of those things today. You know, there'll be things that I see, things that I hear, that things, the devil will just pop things in your mind and you just got to kick them back out.
All right.
Things that I wouldn't have to deal with today if I hadn't have left God. I wouldn't have to have those scars. But 2002, my dad passed away. And Brother Decker often uses the example in his, when he's preaching about marriage, about God bringing Eve to Adam. And through the death of my father, God brought my wife to me. And we had known each other for many, many years, had been friends for many years. But through that situation and that tragedy in my life, God put us together. It's been 15 years, and I'm very, very thankful for my wife. She's been the rock that I've needed in many, many times. She's always been there for me. And I'm thankful for my son and the miracle that he is. And I won't go into all the details of that, but my wife was prayed for, and now my boy, my son is 11, and I'm very thankful for him. And God has changed my life. I went through all of those early things, talking about all those things, leading up to the last 19 years of my life have been the best 19 years of my life. All of my early memories and all of those things that I got to enjoy when I was young are the reason that I knew where to get to when I wasn't saved. I knew where to come back to. God was faithful all those times. He could have taken me out any times. I was in auto accidents. I was in close calls several times. I got hit with a bobcat. You know, it could have been worse than just my back. You know, there was many times that God spared my life when I wasn't saved. And I feel unworthy that I'm able to be here, because he could have taken me out justifiably, because I'm the one that walked away from him. I made a lot of dumb mistakes through my 20s. And like I said earlier, one of the biggest things was I didn't rely on God to help me make the most important decisions of my life when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. And for those, I have to live with now. But a few years ago, I had a situation where my job drastically changed on me, and I lost a significant amount of income. And so I started praying for God to work it out so that I could change jobs. And over a period of several years, just kept praying and trying to get the best God's will from, you know, where what I should do. Well, last August, I had been at my previous job for 24 years total time. I was not full time all of those years, but I was there for 24 years. And it's hard to leave a place like that. I had vacation time and all these other things that I lost. But I was driving back and forth to Columbus every day. And because of the situation at work, we were struggling financially, and it was just becoming a very hardship for us. And so I just kept praying, and God opened the door that I could move here to Newark as far as work is concerned. I'd already been living here. And so I've been at my new job for almost a year, and like I testified the other night with the situation with my feet, I walk about anywhere from 9 to 11 miles a day. And when I first started working there, my feet were terrible, and I pretty much lived 10 hours a day in pain. But God has taken that completely away. And my feet look normal as far as skin color. They had this red, it was red as those seats for over 10 years. And now they're the normal flesh color. And God has done a lot of things for me that I'm greatly thankful for. But the biggest thing was saving me and giving me another chance to serve him. And I guess what I want you young people to realize tonight is, you know, you have the opportunity to get a solid experience with the Lord now.
Amen.
And in doing so, you can save yourself a lot of heartaches. A lot of my history, I didn't go into a lot of detail about things I did, stupid things I did. Just time wouldn't allow it. And some of it's just not things that need to be talked about. But the devil will try to get you any way he can. He'll get you in sports. If he can get you in pornography, if he can get you in drugs, if he can get you in alcohol, get you in just, I don't need God. I got plenty of time. I don't need to do drugs. I don't need to do alcohol. I just want to be to myself. I just want to have fun, you know, not go to church all the time. You know, you don't have to get wrapped up in all these things for the devil to have you.
That's right, brother.
But at the same time, the devil, he has you. And just in doing that, you can make a lot of bad decisions, like I have. And the best decision was 19 years ago when I got saved. And because of that, I have a good home. My wife and I never, ever fight. We have disagreements. That's normal. But we don't yell at each other. We don't scream at each other. We hardly even raise our voice at each other unless we're trying to get a hold of attention from one side of the house to the other. That's the only time we yell. We have a good home. It's peaceful. My son has never seen me raise my fist, scream at my wife. He's never, ever seen that, ever. By the grace of God, he never will. So I'm thankful.
Amen. Good.
That, you know, just stay in there. The devil's going to beat you up as a young person. He's going to attack you. Think you got time, you can do this and you can do that. Don't listen to him.